Wow, that's the first time. Good afternoon, good day, good week to you all. My alarm's reminding me to tell you all to have a good day. What's going on, everybody? I managed to press record today. So that's my win for today. I can't tell you, I did an episode one time. I felt awful. Okay, this is your friend over here, Nikki. I felt awful. We filmed an entire episode, talked about such great stuff, and then all of a sudden, I said I went to upload it later, and I was like, "Where's the episode? Where is it?" Looking, I'm combing through my computer. I am combing through every download, every iDrive, uDrive, whatever. Like I was like, no, this can't be happening. Like it has to be here somewhere. I was like, I'm gonna have to call one of the genius people at the iStore, the IMAX, or say, I am so technologically behind the times that I called the iStore. It's the Matt store. It's the iStore because I need help when I go there. Oh my gosh. So anyway, it all was because I didn't press record. Apparently, when Zoom updated itself, it didn't tell its friendly users to press record. So now, guess who's pressing record all the time? Oh my gosh, it was honestly, I felt so awful having to tell my guests like, oh, 40 minutes, we got to do it over again. And we had the best chat over again because she was just like the coolest human being ever. I'm super excited about the amazing human being I get to interview today. Oh my goodness, Miss Holly Harper is a writer, actor, producer. I mean, she is in the game and she is working hard. And I mean, just to talk about a few of her projects before she gets here, we're gonna talk about the amazing work she's done from Down to Earth, Beer League, and I mean, Down. How can you, Chris Rock dying laughing, Beer League, Kiss and Run, just to name a few. I mean, Single Hills. I mean, just she has been going. And I just want to know what her experience has been like in the business. You know, the business has changed a little bit, as we know, because of COVID. And you know, you got to just go with the times and run with it. But I think it's, you know, it's important when you've been in this business for a long time, or any business really, you have to find the new and exciting stuff that excites you about it. It's like anything, it's like a relationship, and you have to keep the excitement alive. And I think that's sometimes what we forget in life is looking for the little things. The little things. And that's, I said to somebody the other day, I said, I'm determined to find a little bit of joy in each day. I could have the shittiest day in the world. And guys, trust me, my friends, I have had quite shitty days, but I think it's so crazy important to just say, well, at least somebody got my order right at Starbucks today, or at least nobody hit my car pulling out of the parking lot, or at least, you know, at least DoorDash got my order right, whatever it is, find that, because it's those little things, those little joys, those that can make all of the crappy stuff seem a little less crappy. You picking up what I'm laying down? I mean, these are things that I've learned from my grandmother. I cannot take credit for most of the wisdom or wise words that occasionally come out of my mouth, if they ever do. But everything I've learned from my grandmother. My grandmother she was such an important force in my life. And she taught me, she saw movies for me before I did. I'll tell you a little story before Miss Holly Harper gets here. So I grew up singing since the age of 3. A lot of you have heard my interviews where I talk about singing. My grandma always had a record player. No, not a CD player, not a tape player. No. She had a record player, the big old records. Oh, Holly is here. I want to see if Holly knows. Holly is definitely going to know what I'm talking about.
Hey! Look at you. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
I was just talking about the old school record players. And you.
Oh, what?
I see instruments behind you. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, she knows what's up.
Oh, yes. I remember the old school record players very, very well.
My grandmother had one in her like dining room, like her sitting area. Mm-hmm. And I remember like every day we would get up and she would teach me a little bit more of the jitterbug. And by 8 years old, I was jitterbug.
Stop it. You were doing it. Girl, she had to do it. Like, yes, you were born in 1925 or something.
Right. Exactly. Like, it was so weird because when I got to high school, like, people were like, who's your favorite singer? I'm like, Patsy Cline. They're like, what?
But like, let me tell you something. I know some Patsy Cline.
Yes.
I went through a Patsy Cline phase in college where her greatest hits, I listened to it like every day. This woman is speaking to me.
Yes. Like,
she was amazing.
Her music, she's my favorite singer of all time. Her music speaks to me. Like, it's that music that just like grabs my heart and my soul. Mm-hmm. And like the richness in her voice. Oh my gosh.
Like that song, She's Got You.
Oh my God.
I used to listen to it. I'd be like,
picture that you gave to me. Oh my God.
And they still look the same. You know?
Yeah.
We only make different. Oh God. I used to be like, what?
She's got you. Oh my God. Literally. Like, that was literally like my breakup song, my last breakup. Like, I listened to that song, cried more tears than are in the Atlantic Ocean. But it's fine. We're all good now.
I know. So, but that's a good music. That's a good music.
Yeah. Music is really good when it like can really like emote, like get you to emote emotions and get you to feel. What's the stuff you're listening to right now? I'm always curious.
Oh, gosh. I listen to everything. And it's funny because my sister asked me the other day, she's like, who are you listening to? And I'm like, I listen to a lot of old things, but new stuff, I have to admit, I listen to the little girls. I listen to like Doja Cat and like Miami Girls. Like, I listen to them like twerk. I really do, because they make me happy. It's like the happiness yes. of it is like, gets me like going.
Like, one of my favorites, I just want to make sure I say
City Girls. Yeah, City Girls.
Her name, right, is the girl who sings Good For You, Olivia Rodrigo. Or is there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Best. I was like, yes, girl, you said it all.
Yeah, you know, I really love the fact that there's so many young women who are, like, really just kind of just setting their own genre. You know what I mean? They're, like, not trying to be here. They're just like, this is what I'm doing. And where it fits is where it fits. And I hope you like it. You know what I mean? They're not trying to be like, I am that pop star. I am that soul singer. I am that. They're just like, this is who I am.
What I love, I like that. Also, like, I feel like I grew up, you know, in the time of like the boy bands and the girl bands, and like everything was like choreographed, you know. Like,
oops, I did it again.
Exactly. What I love now is like, performers aren't afraid to just get on stage with a mic and a band and sing. And they're like, yeah, we'll do a couple of moves here or there. But like, I've noticed that like the performers nowadays, like, yeah, they do some dances and stuff, but it's really about the vocals. And I know, just, I don't know, it's always vocals for me.
Well, also, I think because, I mean, think about it. Like, Beyonce can dance so well.
Yes.
But like, unless you can even approach that in her stratosphere, like the only girl I'm seeing approaching that stratosphere is Normani.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So unless you can kind of really get there, just kind of like, look, I'm just kind of moving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's be real. You know, like, you know, you'll see, like, what's her face? Oh God, I can't remember her name. She's a new girl, tall, white, brown, dark hair. She's cute. She's really young.
Camila Cabello?
No, she's cute too. But she, oh God, like, don't start now. Don't go.
Oh, yes. Dua Lipa.
Yes, Dua Lipa. I love her little lazy style. I love her, like, baby. Like, she's just like, you know, I'm dancing because the record company told me to. You know what I mean? Like,
It's so wild. I've never done like the whole record label thing, but that's got to be a whole trip. Just, you know,
it seems frightening.
It does. But how did you get your start? I want to know all about you and like how you got into this wild and crazy fun business that we love.
I know, because I just came on like we were girlfriends. We are now, though. But I mean, you know, I came into it as an actress. You know, I went to theater school. I went to theater school, DePaul University. It used to be the Goodman School of Drama for like 50 years, and then they changed like 30 years ago. And so I came to New York as an actress, and honestly, I was just having more fun. Everything was a comedic, you know, because I can act, you know what I mean? Like, but every comedic role I went out for, I got closer. Do you know what I mean? And so then I started doing stand-up when I was waiting tables at a blues club because the host didn't show up one night and they're like, come on, Holly, get up there and just like start it off. And I had a really good time, but I was busting on these musicians. They were not happy, but the crowd was laughing. I was like, ooh, that was something. Like, give it up for you know? But I started doing stand-up, and then it's funny because I started doing stand-up for like a year and a half, and then I quit. I totally quit, and I started doing sketch comedy, and then I came back to stand-up comedy later on through sketch comedy, and then I was writing musical comedy for my sketch comedy, and not even just parody songs. Most of my songs are original songs, and then it all just converged at one time.
Wow.
And that's what happened, basically.
And are you still living in New York now?
Yes, I live in Brooklyn. I live in Clinton Hill.
From New York.
Okay, what part are you from?
Okay, so this is where it gets funny. I'm from Long Island.
Hey. My sister-in-law is from Long Island.
I always say where we have coffee and talk. I'm from Long Island, born and raised. And there's something magical about the East Coast. When you're that close to Broadway, theater, even restaurants. Like, there are restaurants like Ellen Stardust Diner where people sing while you're eating.
Yes.
It's incorporated in every part of New York. I mean, even
it's a magical part of New York. And it's like, you know what it is? I mean, I went to school in Chicago and I love Chicago. Like, Chicago is an amazing town. Like, it really is. And there's talent upon talent in Chicago. You mean like
city, holy moly.
Yeah. But there's something about New York. I was raised in Philadelphia and South Jersey. And we always had family in New York, you know? And so I just knew when I was in college that I was leaving. Like, well, first of all, it was too cold. I was like, I can't. I was like, I don't know about y'all. I'm too small for this. Like, I don't have enough meat like to be in Chicago. Like, I'm not strong enough. But there's something about the East Coast in New York and Philadelphia and even South Jersey. The talent is like, there's a million types of talented people. Yeah. And there's a real respect for theater, for film, for TV, for music. Like, it's all there, all of it. Fine arts, music, like everything. So I really love New York and I love Brooklyn.
I love Brooklyn too. I've spent a ton of time. My dad was born in Brooklyn. So Brooklyn's given me a lot of great things, but I mean, New York, like you said, it's just one of those magical places where it's a melting pot of all of the arts, all of the cultures. It's just, it's incredible. And you can just learn so much. And the, like, what you just said, the fact that you just jumped up there that night when the host didn't show up, like those are the things that magically happen sometimes. And
yeah,
those opportunities, you just got to go and flip and run with it to the hill.
You do. You do. It's, you know, I have two kids. I have a 14-year-old daughter and I have a 9-year-old son. And I'm really trying to teach them, like, man, the things I regret in life are not the things I did. They're the things I didn't do.
Yeah.
Because the things you did, like, let's be real. Maybe I'm too forgiving of myself, but the things I did, like, everyone's going to mess up somewhat. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't killed anybody. You know what I mean? I haven't done, like, a mugging. I haven't done anything really terrible. You know what I mean? So, like, the things that the mistakes you make in life are the mistakes people make in life. But the things that I passed up on, I still think about them. I still think about them. And so I am just not about to let opportunities go by me. Like, I can't.
I love that. I'm very much the same way. I want to, like, if I'm going to go into something, I give it all of me, my whole heart. And it's like, you know, every opportunity. And there have been some opportunities along my journey that I've been like, no. And occasionally I'll think about them. But like you said, everybody's made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. And I think for me, hitting 30 was when I realized, like, you need to relax on yourself. You have been holding yourself up to this like crazy high standard for like 10 years. You need to cut yourself some slack. I never understood that term until, like, you know, I really started putting my career on the trajectory and the path that I wanted it to go. I was like, if you're going to do this really your way, you need to cut yourself some slack. Say you had the opportunities you had, move on, and then look forward to these amazing opportunities that you know could be out there. Because as you know, as well as I know, like, things can happen tomorrow like that.
They can. And you know what's funny is that, you know, when you are a creative person, and look, I sound so damn snobby right now, but okay, when you are talented a certain way, people see you that way. And they want to see you keep going that way. So when you're kind of like, I see myself doing this, my point is, it's very hard to divorce yourself from how people see you.
You're going to make me cry.
It's very hard, because one thing you have to do, and especially as women, it's very hard for us to accept all the gifts. You know, like, we'll think like, I can sing, or I can dance, or I can act, or I can tell jokes. So I shouldn't push it. And I should just stay in that lane. You know what I mean? And the hardest thing you have to realize is that you write your own story, and you can never let someone else write your narrative. Like, you're living someone else's story for what? Like, for what?
Well, I'll be very honest with you, Holly. It's a very big realization for me the past couple, I'd say the past year. I told my best friend, I said, you know what I realized? I realized for like the first 7 or 8 years after Hairspray, I didn't cry. I was like,
wow,
I didn't cry. I was just like happy because people loved Tracy and Tracy was happy, my character. So
yeah.
I felt like I owed it to them to give them, because one time I was out somewhere, I think it was in a grocery store, and somebody stopped me and they said, are you okay? And I said, yes, why? And they said, well, because you're not, you know, and I said, singing and dancing. I said,
in Kroger.
I'm like, I'm picking out produce, but I said, I'm sorry. I hate to disappoint you, but I don't ride to school on a garbage truck every morning. Like, I don't do musical numbers every day. And I felt like I was letting people down if I was going out without this giant smile, or if I wasn't doing musicals, or if I wasn't in that lane, like you said. And then I finally woke up and I was like, no, 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 no. Tracy Turnblad was the greatest blessing, besides from my family, of my life.
But it was one.
Now it is my turn to take it, run with it, and create a career that is for me and a legacy for me and my family, and do what I want to do. Like you said, writing, producing, whatever, getting our hands in the mix and trying it all and see what sticks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I never forget, one of the most helpful things somebody told me was, people's ideas of you and their wants for you, sometimes they just want so much for you. Like, they come in, family, friends, I just want this for you. And it's like, that is not for you to internalize. The same way if somebody messes up with you, it's not, you're not the cleanup woman. You know what I mean? That's not your mess to clean up. And I feel like, you know, as women, people are always just kind of like, okay, like when someone wrongs you, they'll be like, but you know, it takes two to tango. Yeah, it takes two to do a very specific dance, but it only takes one person to be a complete a-hole. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, why would I clean that up? You know what I mean? Like, clean up on aisle four. Guess what? I don't work on aisle four. I don't work here. You know what I mean? So.
Exactly.
Guess what? I'm just going to keep pushing my
card. I don't
work here.
I don't have a name tag.
You see a name tag on here that says cleanup woman? No. But so even true. Though people meet, they may mean very well for you, you know what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know. And a lot of times we know, but we won't let ourselves believe that we'll know. Like, I have to admit, the way Hella Late with Holly Harper happened, like, okay, I've had a sketch comedy group for 12 years called American Candy, and I love them. Like, I love them. And we've created some of the most amazing shows. We've had 52 original shows over the past 12 years, all sold out. You know what I mean? We've been at BAM Cafe. We've been the only musical comedy. We had a whole musical comedy show there, all original songs, mine, right. And like one other writer that had a couple songs. We shot a couple pilots, but you know how shooting pilots goes. You know what I'm saying? We were in Chicago. We were in Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival. We were listed as one, you know, one to watch in Time Out magazine. We've had all this success, and it's like, but one day during the pandemic, I call it the panini. One day in the panini, I'm sitting there watching YouTube and I'm showing my daughter clips of David Letterman. And I just really honestly started to cry because I realized I really love this. And I don't even watch late night comedy talk shows anymore because it's painful for me to watch because that's what I want to do. And you know how it's painful for us to watch something that somebody else is doing that we want to do? And sometimes we see something and we don't even know why it rubs us the wrong way. And it's sometimes it's because that's what we want. And so I really had to accept that.
I absolutely, you know, I think of it this way, you know, think of an injured ball player. He's on the bench and all of his teammates are out there on the field playing like that championship, that big massive game. And he can't play because he's sitting icing his knee. Like that's got to be such a feeling. And it's true when there are movies and TV and things coming out that, you know, we watch and we're a fan of, but we also know that we could nail that shit.
Yeah.
It's like, why wasn't it can be very frustrating. But what I've learned is when one door closes, three more are going to open. And what's meant to, my grandmother used to tell me while she was teaching me to jitterbug, she used to tell me what's meant to be.
She sounds so awesome. Like she
really was the coolest. I will tell you, I have always gotten along with older people more than younger people. Not that I don't like younger people. You guys are great. But like older people just have such wisdom and their hearts are just so genuine. And yeah, so my nan was awesome to expose me to just such terms like that and just, you know, follow your heart and.
Yeah. And sometimes we lose people, like we fall out with friends or a project ends. Not, you know, it's not even always a bad thing. Like sometimes you just move on from and we lose people. It could be negative. It could be, you know what I mean? It could be negative, positive, it could just be distance and we feel lost. And then sometimes losing one set of people and all of a sudden you find all these other people.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And you're like, whoa.
There's that saying, people come into your life for a reason, a season, a lifetime, whatever that saying is. And it's true. Mm-hmm. I've had people be in my life, my best friend of 17 years. And then I've had people come in and make a massive impact on my life that have only been there for a few months while we film something. And so it's just about the quality of experience, not about how long it lasts. It's like, you know, it could be like great sex, you know, it's about how good it is, not about how long it lasts.
Look at that. That's what men say. It's not how long it lasts.
Right.
I was good for those 42 seconds. You're like,
I'm a lesbian, so we go for hours. So who cares? But you know.
Yeah. Y'all will wear me out. That will wear me down. I'd be like, damn. I'm used to man time. Like I could still see that show.
Yeah, like I could have cooked dinner, watched a show, a whole musical. Oh my gosh, it's so funny, but it's so true. But
y'all take your time. Y'all take your time.
We do. You know, time is of the essence. But I will say that, you know, growing up and definitely coming out, being that it's Pride Month, you know, just speaking about it, it's definitely freed me a lot too from that, what I was talking about earlier, that like having to be that happy Tracy all the time, that really kind of like really separated me, I felt, from the character and helped me personally heal. Like, yes, I'm Tracy when I have to be, but guess what? I'm Nikki most of the time.
Yeah. And it's like, you have to be who you are.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be who you are. And I just kind of feel like, you know, it's funny because, you know, in social media, there's a lot of people that are like, you know, I don't have any problem with gay people. I just kind of like, you know, and I'm kind of like, no, it's not even a matter of a problem. Like, gay is good. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just kind of like, it's not even just like, no, gay is good. Gay is good. This is a form. This is a form of love. It's a form of heat. It's a form of sexuality. Like gayness has so many branches and it's all good. And so I can't even, like, people say like tolerance. It's like, I tolerate peppers on my burger. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't tolerate people.
It's like, I tolerate the raw onions.
But remember how these be like tolerance. It's like tolerance. Like,
no,
gay's good. No, I'm sorry, sir. We're just going to have to be happy for folk. We're just going to have to be happy for love and happy for people.
Yeah, it's, you know, love is just, it's, when you have it, it's one of the greatest things in the world. And also self-love and coming to terms with who you are as a person, but also just like, even if you're not gay, just loving yourself for the human being that you are, for the energy, the goodness that you put out into the world every day. Hopefully you put out goodness and, you know, and the projects that you create, like, you are creating some incredible stuff and you are giving people one of the greatest joys other than love, and that's laughter. Because
thank you.
And nothing fills a heart like love and laughter, and it's true.
Thank you. And we need to laugh. Like, I feel like, man, we've been through a lot. We've been through a lot. Like, you know, like, there's this thing on Facebook where, like, they remind you of, like, where you were last year and then 2 years ago and then 3 years ago. That can be painful, girl. That can be painful right away. Because you're like, ooh, what was I even thinking about? But like, I had a post from like a year ago, like right around this time. And it said, wow, I feel like this summer started with Contagion and then it came, you know, Do the Right Thing. So it was like Contagion meets Do the Right Thing. Like, it was like Corona and then the racial reckoning. And so I just feel like we've been through so much. And we've been through a lot of hate, a lot of sadness, a lot of darkness. And so I really feel like it's time to have the roaring 20s and time to have some fun.
Yeah.
It is time to have some fun. It is time to have some joy.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's been an intense, I can't believe it's been like an intense year and a half now.
Yeah.
Like, what? So yes, we need the roaring 20s. What we need is that scene out of The Great Gatsby. All of us just dancing and living our best lives.
Yes, I will do all of it except the cloche. That was not flattering. That was not, it looked cute, but then the hat came off and it was like, ooh. Let's put it back on, put the hat back on. But
I couldn't rock the fringes either. There would be too much fringe going on. There would be too much fringe.
Yeah, like those dresses were for certain body types. You know what I mean? It just looked like a bed sheet with some tassels if you don't have the right body type. Like,
and I think all they drank was champagne. That was it. Like, champagne and cigarettes. That's what everybody lived on in the 20s.
Girl, you know what's really funny? It's like the 90s were filled with champagne. Like, if you look at any 90s video, like 90s R&B and 90s hip hop was like, you know, Diddy, Biggie, like, how you living, Biggie Smalls? It was champagne. Yeah. I'll never forget, I had someone donate like a whole case of champagne for my wedding. And I drank like half that case. really? Champagne before the wedding even happened. I remember being like, champagne is great at breakfast. Like, I would just be like, this is the best drink ever. Like, it's not that hard. It's better than soda. Like, this is wonderful. You're in a good mood. This is wonderful.
Well,
until you step on that scale, then you're like, ooh, champagne. Well, champagne. Yeah, That's why it's a glass of champagne.
A glass of champagne. And then it goes by so quickly. And then yes. Same thing happens to me with those darn seltzers.
Let me tell you something. Those little like hard seltzers have taken over. And they've
taken over.
You know what cracks me up is you see all these commercials and they'll be like sandwiched in with like eco-conscious. And I'm like, that's a lot of cans. Like, yeah. I'm always just thinking, like, is anybody registering how many cans?
Anybody thinking about the dolphins? No.
Those little
plastic. Is that even, nope, we're not? Okay.
No one is thinking about the dolphins. And I'm always just like, okay, how lazy is bartending now? Like, we're just popping sodas now?
That's what's wild to me, is that you can go to a bar and just be like, I'm just going to have a White Claw. First of all, if I go to a bar, and I'm paying like, I don't know, $10 for a drink or whatever it is for a drink. I want like a little effort. Like I want a drink. Something yummy. Like not just.
Oh girl, and if summer is involved.
Until a day. If yes, I want to do that, I'd stay home.
Thank you. And if summer is involved, that blender is going to be involved. I want a pina colada. I want a daiquiri. Like girl. Because you can have a virgin daiquiri, you can have a real daiquiri, like you can have a daiquiri for lunch that's a virgin daiquiri. Like exactly. I want a blender involved drink.
I love you. I just moved to California and I have now decided that I want all my coffee blended. Lately, I don't know why I've been on this kick, or this past week, I'm just like, I get my hazelnut latte and then I'm like, can you please blend it? Why? I don't know. I'm just trying.
Girl, I waited tables on and off for 20 years. And you know the Blue Note in New York City, the jazz
club?
Blue Note? I was there for like 3.5 years and they had this one Brazilian drink called a caipirinha. And man, that's the most labor intensive drink. First of all, you have to crush the limes, add the sugar. But I'll never forget, I thought the bartender was going to get carpal tunnel just from making caipirinhas. I'll never forget, one time I went to him, I was like, I need 16 caipirinhas. He was like, no, you don't. You're lying. I was like, I'm
16.
I'm dead serious. If I have a section of 40 people, about half of these mugs are going to see a caipirinha and be like, what's that? You know.
Yeah.
But, oh, it's just, and then the people were like, oh my God, it's got pulp in it. You're like, because it's crushed
lime. Because it's fresh. Well, I worked at Starbucks. I will tell you.
Oh, girl.
Yes, I will tell you the down and dirty. I worked at Starbucks and it was after Hairspray.
Okay.
I worked there. This was about, oh my gosh, 2 years ago now, a year and a half. And it was a nightmare because it was a great company to work for. Starbucks is excellent to their partners and they're very, very LGBTQ friendly. They're awesome. However, my specific people that I worked with, I think they just didn't like me because of the whole Hairspray thing. One of them was a singer and she was, I think, maybe just like a little like, you know, every time.
So like, what'd you do to these people? Like, you were supposed to be somebody else?
I literally would stand behind the counter and I had to wear a name tag, right? Because you have to wear a name tag. So it says Nikki. I can't lie and say, right, like, write like Debra on there. I don't know. So I'm like, yeah, sure. So I'm wearing my name tag and people would come up to the counter and they'd be like, am I being punked? Because what my coworkers would do was they would play the Hairspray soundtrack over the loudspeakers in the store.
Are you for real?
And I would stand there and people would be like, are you being punked? And I'd be like, am I being punked? And I'd be like, no, ma'am. Would you like that iced or hot? Like, it was just like, it was. And I will tell you, I was there about 6 months and then Corona hit and we were given a decision. Do you want to take 120 day leave or do you want to stay with the company and just work, you know, shorter hours or whatever? I said, I'm going to take a leave. I needed the money, but I did not need the headache. And mm-hmm. I decided, I turned to my parents and I was like, I'm going to start writing. I'm going to start doing whatever I need to get back into my career. And thank God, by the grace of God, here I am a year or so later, back working in movies and TV. And
girl, good for you. God bless you.
I will tell you though, that right there, that Starbucks experience was the biggest eye-opener.
People are hateful. And let me tell you something. People have no idea the ups and downs of the business. Like, they really don't. And they honestly think, oh, you made it, then you should just be coasting and do it. And it's just like, no, there's a life. Bills have to be paid. I have to have health insurance. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and a lot of people are just hateful. Like, they really are. Yeah. A lot of them just don't have joy in their life. They haven't been taught how to be grateful. And they're jealous. They're just jealous. And they just have bitterness.
Well, you know, there's always one of my favorite lines from a show that I used to watch growing up was, I think it was called True Life. You think you know, but you have no idea. This is the true life of, right?
Girl, I still love that show. Was that Driven? Was that Driven? Sounds like, maybe it's True. Okay, that sounds like a show, Driven. But whatever. I remember that. There's all these shows that were like biography.
Yeah.
It was like Driven, True Life, like all these different things. But
you think you know.
You have no idea.
Exactly.
Like, you have no idea.
All right. You have no idea. The voice of Paris Hilton.
Like, you just be like, I always like to be like, I can't. Like, I just can't. Oh my God, I can't.
But it's so true. It's like, you know, the thing is that every single day we think we know, we go through life and people think, you know, with me, oh, Hairspray, huge movie. She must be set for the rest of her life. People ask me all the time what I make. First of all, I'm like,
that's rude.
Rude. Don't ask me what I made. Two, it's my first movie, like your first anything, you're not going to be set for the rest of your life. You think the first time A-Rod hit a baseball, he was set for the rest of his life? I don't think so.
Exactly.
You have to work. You have to climb that ladder every single day. You have to get up. You have to put in the effort. It's a constant, you know, you.
Also, the fact that, number one, you're a woman.
Yes.
Hello. And you're a real size woman.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're like a real person.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're a real person. It's like, do you honestly think that these roles just grow on trees for people? It's like, what do you think? And the thing is, the best thing you can possibly do for yourself is divorce your level of talent with your level of success.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or how many roles, like, you have to divorce that, because we all know that when we see people, like, Lord have mercy, when, like, I remember my first, you know, with your podcast, I was like, holy shit, she's talented as hell. I was like, what? Like, no. And I'm like, so when I see someone like you, I'm like, no, that is God-given talent. Like, that is God-given, one in a freaking million talent. But that doesn't correlate to the world we live in. And it doesn't correlate to the business. So you have to make inroads for yourself. The best thing a woman could do, you know, as a Black woman, and a grown Black woman, you know, you have to do these things for yourself, because the industry is really not checking for you. Like, they're not. You have to check it.
I want to ask you if you've been seeing what I've been seeing on sides or like audition material that's been coming in during this weird pilot season that we've been having, where it's been saying, this casting company is dedicated to casting diverse people of all different races, sizes, blah, blah, blah. And I read that and I go, okay, but when the show comes out, let's see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't mean to sound cynical. I don't mean to not believe these casting directors, but for years, they've been saying they're going to create more plus size roles, or for more roles of people of color or whatever. Or people are going to be paid the same amount and this and that. And for years, we've seen that not happen. And so I just hope that now it's finally going to settle in, that women are going to be paid the exact same as men. And there's going to be a role for every race, every religion, every nationality, every size, everybody, because talent is talent. That's what I always say at the end.
Talent is talent. You cannot deny talent. You cannot deny talent. I guess one thing I notice is, you know, because I came to New York straight out of college. I've been here a long time. And just one thing I've noticed is like, okay, is it race? Is it gender? Is it like your gender preference, your sexuality? Is it ageism? It's all of it.
Yeah.
It's all of it. And it's funny because, you know, I'm over 40, I'm over 45. So I start noticing like,
What are you talking about? I was just at your 25th birthday last week. Stop it.
No, girl. I'm a Generation X, honey.
Oh, that's like, true. That's true.
Yes. like I have Zoomer children. You know what I mean?
And Generation Z now. I don't even know. Where are the...
Yeah, they call them Zoomers. And I'm like, okay. Keep up. I know. What's one thing? I'll get back to one thing so funny about Zoomers is that they banded and bonded together when they sabotage Trump's rally right before the election. Girl, I read about that and I thought it was like a joke. And I realized, no, that really happened. So I asked my daughter, I was like, you and your little friends part of that? And she's like, mama, we all were, like our whole generation. I was like, what? I was like, so I have hope for them. That's one thing. I've noticed that women in my generation, Generation X, are now on TV and in movies like the spouses of baby boomer men. Like they used to play our dads and now we play their wives. And then like, okay, like I'm over 45. So I'll have like, if I was in a TV movie, I'd be like the mom of someone who's like 34. And it's kind of like, it's the strangest thing. And it's like, and so I guess my whole point is now with me is that since I am over 45, like when you're in your 20s, you're just in your 20s. When you're in your 30s, when you get past like a certain age, 35, you're still trying to seem like you could be in your 20s.
Yeah.
But something happened to me in my 40s where all of a sudden I was like, well, I'm so old now, I don't even feel the need to compete. Like now I'm like a young old. So like, it's weird. I have to admit, it's been very freeing. I don't feel the need to compete with younger girls. Like,
honestly, I'm 32 and I'm right there with you. And I think it's because we've come to a point where we're comfortable in ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're comfortable in who we are as people, our morals, our hearts. And we're like, we're going to be this way at the age of 32 and 40 something. And we're going to be that at 60 something because these are the people we are. We're going to change. We're going to grow with the times and, you know, we're going to learn. But at the same time, I feel like those core values, those morals, those things that my nan instilled in me, your family probably instilled in you, those are the things that make us who we are, whether we're in our 30s, 40s, you know, 90s, hopefully someday.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're absolutely right. You talk about your nan, like my grandmother, to this day, she is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. I have never, and I'm being dead serious. I remember because I met her, she was old. You know what I mean? Like you meet your grandma old. Yeah. You don't meet your grandma as a young woman. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, she's like the first old lady you see, like let's be real. And I remember just looking at her and she just looked like a beautiful old cat.
Yeah.
You know, and like she would have men and they were her age, would come like gentlemen callers and like just come and like, you know, with the hat and be like, I just come to see Miss Billy. And, you know, just come and sit a spell and they would have coffee and cake and he would just sit there and admire her. And I remember realizing like, you know what? You could be a beautiful 16-year-old. You could be a beautiful 86-year-old. Your beauty is going to carry with you through your age and you just have to try to be the happiest and best version of yourself at whatever age you are.
Absolutely.
Like I looked at her and my grandmother used to be like, you have beauty in your eyes. It's your smile. It's the way you hold yourself. It's the way you treat people is what makes you beautiful, your inner life that you give. So yeah, there's things about me that I'm like, oh, I will change that or change this. But I, you know, I wake up and, you know, in this pandemic, people lost so many people, you know, and I, you know, I lost my older brother 6 years ago. You know, one of my best friends died a few years ago. I've lost like several people in this pandemic. And so I really am happy to be here. And I feel like we need to be happy for what we have.
My brother, I sent my brother a text the other day. He was like, how's your day going? I said, Joe, I'm above ground. It's a good day, my friend.
I said,
I don't care. Yes. I said, DoorDash got my delivery wrong. All this shit happened. But I am here and it is fine. And that's all. And you know what? My grandmother, I remember one of the greatest lessons my grandmother taught me was when I got off the school bus, I was like 8 years old and I was crying. I was in my little Catholic schoolgirl uniform.
Aww.
And oh gosh, those uniforms, I tell you, those were torture.
Scratchy.
I mean, constantly just like.
Just all up on you and then weird.
And then sitting on eyes.
They don't even come over your butt, right? You know what I mean? You're like, can it just come over my butt,
especially
right?
Especially when like, you have a butt. Like, I have a butt. And, like, I was like, I think you guys are going to need to add a few more inches at the bottom of this. Thank you. Because this is not that kind of school.
It's not nice. They're not nice to people.
They're not forgiving. And I remember getting off the school bus and my grandmother said to me, I was crying. And it was the first time that like a schoolboy had really bullied me. And she looked at me and she said, why are you crying? I said, oh, so-and-so said this about my weight. And she looked at me and this was the first time it clicked in my head. She said, Nikki, people make fun of you because they're insecure with themselves. She's like, that boy must be so sad that he has to pick on you to make himself feel better. From that moment at 8 years old, anything that's ever been said about me in this business, every crappy review that I've ever gotten and whatever, I'm like, okay, you know what? At the end of the day, I made my nan proud. That's what I care about. I know she's up there watching, she's proud. So whoever writes those angry reviews, whoever writes a nasty comment on social media, I'm sorry for whatever they're going through because
yeah.
I was given the blessing enough of a nan to let me know that my heart's good. It's other people who just need a little bit of help in life.
Absolutely. Wow, that's beautiful. She did that for you. Really nice.
And I think it's really important to remind people it's never too late to change.
It isn't. Like, you know, it's funny because, you know, we've all had hard experiences with like people that are mean to us in the business and the industry. And it's like, I remember the last time somebody was like really mean to me, I just kept thinking to myself, like, it felt like it was coming from left field. And I was just like, why are they being so mean to me? Why are they? And I was talking to my husband was like, because they see you. They see you. And I was like, yeah, I see them. They're like, no, they see you. They see you and you're standing there. And a lot of people don't feel like they can be great if someone else is great or two. You know what I mean? Like they can't.
I heard an amazing
can't get around it.
Once from Ryan Seacrest, ironically. And he said, it does not dim your light to light somebody else's candle with your candle. Absolutely. So never dull your shine. You know what I mean? So all those people in that room, they saw you shining. They were just intimidated because you were just this bright light, you know?
Yeah, thank you. Because let's be real. Like most people are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like most of my professional life, I would say about 95% of people, really cool, no problem. Yeah. So if you really have somebody coming from left field and acting crazy, you kind of have to question like, why? Like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Why is this happening? Yeah. And it's like, you know, I think of that Mariah Carey song, like, why are you so obsessed with me? And it's like, why are you? Why are you so obsessed with me? Like you must, like, think about it. They must be giving a whole, like, think about all the thought that went into a Starbucks to be playing Hairspray. That's a lot of thought.
I would have never thought to have done it.
God, that's some production. That's a lot of production. You know what I mean? Like, girl, they put on a whole production for you because you were here. You were here. And that bothered them.
Yeah.
And so they, like, I don't know what they weren't getting, some audition or this wasn't happening or whatever, but they saw you. They saw you. So it's kind of like, okay, so you, I see you see me. All right.
All right. I'm glad they saw me. Hope they check out the podcast, sending love back to them. I will say I had a great boss. I've always had great bosses at the places I've worked.
Oh, good for you.
I've been very lucky. Like my boss, Anita, at that store, huge shout out to Anita at the Starbucks in New Hyde Park because she was amazing. Everybody else. Yeah, I don't know. Go make yourself a latte, make yourself feel better because you flipping just make.
Girl, I don't know. I don't know how y'all.
Sunny side egg every morning.
Let me tell you something. I've been going to Starbucks for years. I don't know how y'all make it happen, but y'all do. Because sometimes I'm in there, I'm like, I don't know. These kids are working hard back here. Like, this is ridiculous.
It's a hustle. I worked there. I worked at Cold Stone. Cold Stone was my favorite job I've ever had. I got it. I worked there for a year and a half right before I got Hairspray. So I got Cold Stone and then went to Hairspray Land and still friends with my bosses from Cold Stone. I always stay friends with my bosses. I don't know. It's the, like I said,
that's awesome.
The more mature people thing. I just,
you identify with adults. You can relate to adults. You know what I mean? Like you really can.
Ever since I'm a kid too, like I always like at Thanksgiving, I always wanted to sit at like the adult table. Like that was, I'm like, I want to be in the know. I want to know what's really going on. Don't keep me at the kid table where we're talking.
Girl, I just wanted to be at the adult table because of the gossip. What? They would forget the kids were around and start really talking. I used to be like, ooh, like what?
Yep, you're just mashing those potatoes like, mm-hmm. Like. Ears wide open. That was me growing up for sure. Well, I gotta ask you, you know, I love to cook. So I take a lot of my grandmother's recipes and my mom's recipes with me. What is your favorite thing to cook for your family?
Well, my favorite thing, I can't cook for them anymore because they all went vegetarian on me. Like,
really?
They did. My daughter was first. She was became a vegetarian when she was 8.
Good right? for her.
I know, right? Then my husband about 4 or 5 years ago, and then my son. So it's like, it's just me. But my favorite thing used to be to fry chicken. I used to love my husband's birthday. This is July 4th, baby. Uh-huh. And so I would do like the whole spread. I would do like fried chicken, baked macaroni and cheese, fried shrimp. I make collard greens. I bake a yellow cake with chocolate frosting. Like I would do like, look at you. She fell over.
I'm done.
I haven't gotten banana pudding yet. That's my new thing. I'm going to make banana pudding. Because let me tell you something. Banana pudding can give you a foodgasm.
Okay. Like, I will tell you this. I will end with this. So we were on the set of Hairspray. John was incredible and had his caterers come. And they day would have this massive tray of banana pudding, homemade banana pudding. My mother could care less about the lunch. She didn't care about, no. She would go beeline for the banana pudding. I'm like, I'm the daughter, you're the mother. Wait, you have to get like some protein and then you can go to the banana pudding. No, she was like straight to the, it was the best thing. Banana pudding will give you life. And if you're in New York, Magnolia Bakery is all.
Ooh, yes, girl, Magnolia Bakery. I've stood in line.
Me too.
Girl, you know, my daughter, she's 14 now. What? See, I was always the one in the West Village. And then when I got to Penn Station, I was like, what? This is here too? But I was in line in 2007, spring 2007, with a 2-month-old baby in line for over an hour waiting for, and I was pumping. I was pumping milk underneath the jacket. And my sister,
you're my hero.
I'm getting I'm getting these cupcakes. People were like, I never got these like hipsters in front of me. They're like, don't you want to do that somewhere else? I was like, no, don't you have a pickle joint to run somewhere? Like, if you don't leave me alone, like, girl, exactly. If you don't leave me alone, like, it's going to be a problem. But yeah, I pumped milk waiting for those cupcakes with the pastel icing and the banana. And the banana, and let me tell you, those people that work there, they are manipulative. They know how to get to you. Like
they know how to get you to buy one of this and one of that. And have you
seen
this? I walked out with carrot cake. I walked out with banana pudding. I walked out with red velvet pudding. Oh, the whole shebang.
What? Yeah, I didn't even want the banana pudding. And I was just going for the cupcakes. And this guy, was, I was looking at it. And this kid who worked there, he was like, you ever had our banana pudding? I was like, no, I love it. And he goes, go get some pudding. And I was like, he goes, you know you want some pudding. And I was like, okay, I do.
He got you. Hook, line, and sinker.
I got a quart of banana pudding, a whole big box of cupcakes, that beautiful white box. It was so ignorant. I ate like half of it in the cab on the way back to Brooklyn. It was ridiculous.
It's, but that's New York though. When you have a craving, I will tell you, there is no city like New York that can cure a craving.
Yeah, because you'll be like, I want some Indian food. And they'd be like, and like, there it is. You know, like when you grow up, I grew up in the burbs, and I grew up in Philadelphia until I was 9, but then in the burbs as a teenager, they don't have everything.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even have everybody. You know what I mean? A lot of burbs is just white people or black people. You don't even get, a lot of times you don't even get Asians, you don't get Latinos, you don't get Arab, like, and even different types of Asians. There's like a million different types of Asians. You know what I mean? So going to Chicago and then moving to New York, I was like, oh my God, the world of food.
It's so culturally eye-opening. And for me, it's always been just culturally stunning. Even though people say, oh, it's New York, it's dirty. I'm like, it is one of the most beautiful cities in the world, because there's just somebody from every walk of life and religion, and there is some of the most amazing food and just something to see, bright lights, theater, like we said, and amazing people like you, Holly Harper, who are just making us laugh and putting on shows and being your true, beautiful, authentic self. And I thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Like, I really appreciate this. Please have me back. Girl, someone cancels.
God, please, anytime.
Let me know. Somebody cancels. I could be like that Terry Garr from the 80s on David Letterman. She would just come in. Google it. David Letterman, like, somebody would cancel and Terry Garr would just come on in. I could be your Terry Garr.
Oh my gosh. No, you are way higher. You're way above. But we will reschedule and we will have you on again and again and again, because you are amazing. And I am sending you so much love. And please hold down Brooklyn for me until I get back.
Thank you. You got, girl, we come. We're going to get some food, girl.
Like, yes, please.
Don't eat before you come.
Okay.
Don't eat. Just drink water. Eat some crackers. So when you get here, we could be like, what?
It could be like the taste. It's on and popping once I get there. Oh, it is the fried chicken. I love your family, but tell them, be like, Nikki and I are going to go out for some fried chicken. We'll be home for the vegetarian food later.
Yes, let me know. I will start soaking that chicken in buttermilk for you, girl. Let me know.
I love you.
Let me know.
Well, from me to you, I love you. I love your buttermilk. Stay well.
I love you too, and thank you so much.
Okay, be well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. She is such a gem. Oh my gosh. You guys, I was having kind of like a slow morning. It was just like, blah, 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 you know, putting my makeup on, getting ready to do this as my makeup is dripping down my eyes now because I've laughed and cried with the incredible, incredible Holly. But I was having kind of like one of those mornings, and Holly picked my spirits up. So Holly Harper, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, because this was one of the most fun interviews I've had in a long time. This was one of the most fun chats I've had with anybody in a very, very long time. She is real. She is human. She gets it. She's got a gorgeous heart, and she's out there following her dreams. She's an amazing mom. She is hustling. She is working hard, putting out incredible sketch comedy, musical sketch comedy. Like, just the fact that she writes like musical theater numbers and works them into her sketch comedy, that just blows my mind, because I know just how wild and stressful and tumultuous, just straight acting can be sometimes. But then when you add, you're writing it and producing it, and wow, just the talent that lives inside of that stunning human, Holly, I adore you. Thank you so much for being on today. It was such a pleasure talking to you and laughing with you. And everybody, please go follow her on her Instagram page and just keep laughing with her, because she's amazing. And I know she's going to make us laugh for many, many, many years to come. So from me to you all, I love y'all. I'm sending you all the biggest virtual hug you could ever imagine. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. Have a great month. Have a great life, because you deserve it. And I am sending you love. Be well. Bye.